الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صلِّ وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صلِّ وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صلِّ وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاد أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاه والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العطاء وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير، الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا، وهو العزيز الغفور. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, by way of introduction, I wish to say one or two things. One is, I'm very, very indebted to our Imam here, mashallah, and the community here. The last time we were here also, the very warm welcome they gave us made us feel so welcome and at home. And this time also, when I phoned Brother Iqbal Muhammad, I told him, Muhammad Iqbal, that we intend having a program, should we come for one or two days? So we were discussing it. Then he said, if it's one day, then we don't have a program in town. But if it's 2 days, I said, yes, make it 2 days. We will extend our stay for another day, but that we could be yet. So we are also very eager to come here and meet our friends and have a deeny talk, deeny discussion, etc. And the warmth that you people extend to us, we also will never forget. May Allah reward you and make that for the cause of deen, and for deen to come into our lives and to spread in the whole world, inshallah. Another point, by way of introduction also, our Honorable Sheikh Arif Billah, the Rumi of our time, the Mujaddid of this era, the second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahullah, says that before every bayan, make muzakara of one sunnah of Hazrat Nabiyyi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the sunnahs really are the life wire of this ummah. Yeah, at this point also, we should understand the difference between a sunnah and a hadith. There is a great difference. Of sunnahs we understand from the hadith, but there is a great difference. Sunnah was the common lifelong practice of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadiths point out to certain individual occasions. For example, it was the lifelong practice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to wear a topi qadan suwa. And in the kitabs, Shama'il al-Tirmizi, we read in detail the different types of qadan suwa topi Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore. So that is a sunnah. But we will come across a hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs salah without a topi, for whatever reason. For example, you are traveling by car and it's a hot day, your window is open and your topi flew away. Time of salah, faras, you have to make your salah. You can't say, I haven't got a topi, I'm not going to make salah. No, you have to make your salah. You will make it without a topi that day. It's quite in order. That is a hadith. But the lifelong practice was to wear a topi. Also in a similar way, for example, to sit and urinate is sunnah. But there was an occasion when it was not possible and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood and relieved himself. But that was one occasion. So sometimes it happens to us, we are caught up in such a situation. where you can't sit. It's a, you are traveling and there's no place for you to sit. There's a urinal and now you are deeply in need of relieving yourself. You do that for that one occasion, but your lifelong practice is the proper sunnat way. So this is very important to understand. And to understand this, or there are many more examples also, but to understand this, we have to be those people who were present at the time, the Sahaba Ikram, they understood it. They explained it to the Tabi'in. They explained it to the Tabi Tabi'in. They explained it, and that chain in narration comes to us still today, that unbroken chain. And only from that will we get the correct understanding of deen. If we try to understand deen on our own accord, from kitabs, from internet, we will make grave mistakes. Like for example, a father is lying on bed and he's going to sleep now. He tells his son, Muhammad, bring me water. So the son sees that the father is lying on the bed. In what will he bring water? In a glass, because the father wants to drink. Sunday morning or Saturday afternoon, he sees the father is standing by the car outside in the yard. His sleeves are rolled up. And he tells Muhammad, bring me water. Exactly the same words. Now, what will Muhammad understand? That he wants to wash the car. So he'll take water in a bucket. But the person who was not present, and he uses his own mind to make the meaning, bring me water. It's possible he make this interpretation that when he wants to, when he's lying on the bed and he wants to drink water, he takes water in a bucket. And it's possible that when he wants to wash the car, he takes water in a glass. So the person who was there present watching the situation, he will know what is the correct interpretation. Like that the Sahaba, they have explained to the Tabi'in, Tabi'in to Tabi Tabi'in, and this whole series has come. For example, you are speaking to somebody on the phone, and you say, yes, 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 yeah? Now that same yes, but now the tone you said it in means you are objecting to one. You are agreeing on it, and yes, 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 it's okay. Yes, now you are objecting. It's the same word, but the person who's present, he will know the difference. Therefore, it's very important. One father, he was passing away, and the son was studying at university, so he made a wasiyat nama. He made, he's the last advisors to for the son. So in that he wrote three things. One thing he wrote, you must go to work in the shade, and you must return from work in the shade. Second is, you must only eat the best food. And the third is, every month, or rather it was every year, you must get married again, new marriage. So the son, he saw the father, so what he advised him. So the first thing, he built a shade from his house till the shop till the factory, and he used to go in the shade, 9, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock to work, and he should return 3, 4 o'clock again, he should return in the shade. The second thing, he told his wife, and father said, you must only cook, I must only eat the best. So every meal you see that you prepare the best. No leftovers of the last meal, no just the slapdash job, suddenly you just make some sandwiches you give me, you must cook the best food. That he managed now, and it came to getting married. And now he couldn't understand that every year I must make a new marriage. So now he went to the father's secretary, who was lifelong with the father. And he understood the father. He was in university. He didn't know the mizaj, the temperament, the nature of his father. He was there in university. So he asked the secretary. So the secretary told him, you stupid, you haven't even understood one thing what your father told. Your father said you must go in the shade to work. He meant you must go before sunrise. And you must come after sunset. You must work hard. And you must eat the best food. You must only eat when you are really hungry. Then any food you eat is the best food. If you are full, even if you get biryani and the best roast and the best food, but you'll have objection. But if you are hungry, whatever you eat is the best. And that you must marry one every year, you must have relations with your wife once a year. So every year will be a new marriage for you. And today nobody can manage that, and we can't understand this in our times also. When the people, the shaitan and his agents, are making all such evil so common everywhere. So anyway, who can understand it? The son, though he was the son, but he wasn't staying with the father. He couldn't understand what he meant. But his secretary, who was with him day and night, and they did all their work together, he understood what the father meant. So like this deen also, we can understand from those people who have got deen, and they got their deen from those people who had deen in them. And the chain goes up right to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Otherwise, we will make very grave mistakes with regard to this. Anyway, one sunnah that I will mention today is the sunnah of miswak. Miswak is a great sunnah of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. It comes in the hadith that inna salata bisiwak afdalu min sab'ina salatan bidun siwak. Any salah that is performed in which miswak was made in the tuhur, in the wudu before that, that salat is 70 times more superior, not equal to, more superior than the salat in which miswak was not made. For example, we all have made maghrib salah behind the same imam, same three rakats, three rukus, six sajdas, same exactly. But those of us who made miswak, that the salat of that is not equal to three rakats, but 3 times 70. 210, and not only 210, absolutely more, better than that also. What a great earning is deen. So easy to earn the great, great things in dunya. Can you ever have an occasion like this, that just you do one small thing and your profits will increase more than 70 times? In dunya you can't, it's impossible. For example, a waween after Maghrib Salah, which is also a Nafil Salah, a person who makes awwabin salah gets the reward of 12 years of ibadat. To understand it in our terms, a person is working for his boss. The shop closes at 5 o'clock, but a very special customer has come just 2 minutes before 5, before closing time. The boss tells his worker, the salesman, if you stay another 5 minutes, I'll give you 12 years wages. 12 years wages. If his earning is $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year, times 12, $144,000 I will give you if you will stay 5 minutes. How long it takes to make awwabin namaz? Awwabin, 2 rakats, it comes in the hadith. Man salla 6 rakati ba'd al-maktuba. A person who reads 6 rakats of namaz after the farad. So farad we have read through sunnat muakkada, the whole ummah. Two nafils also the whole ummah makes. So 4 we have made already. Just add 2 more. And your 6 of awwabin will be made, and you'll get 12 years ibadat sawabs. It is the wages of 12 years. So just imagine a person who works for you, and you ask him for 2 minutes more, and you give him the wages of 12, will there be a boss like that in the world? That you just say today 2 minutes extra. After namaz we all salah, we all want to dash out. But let's say, just take 2 minutes extra and just do your job, another 2 rakats read. And I'll give you wages of 12 years. So great are the returns. So for miswak also, and then again it was our farad, will be by 210 and even more. Then we all made 2 sunnats also. Multiplied that by 70, 140. The level of sunnat is lower than the level of farad. Farad is farad. Allah's command. But also that, just by having made miswak, which would take you half a minute, 15 seconds to make miswak. And you keep your little miswak in your pocket, what is not going to be so heavy or anything. And easily you just make your miswak, but see what the returns are. And 5 salats of the day from Fajr to Isha. And just imagine if we calculate how much returns are there. Ibn Abidin Shami Rahmatullah Ali was a great scholar and imam of Fiqh of Syria Sham. He writes that inna sunnat as-siwak. تُذَكِّرُ كَلِمَةَ شَهَادَةٍ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ. The barakah of the sunnah of miswak, by its barakah, at the time of mort, you will be reminded to recite kalima-i-shahad. To recite kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, at the time of mort is a very great thing. But kalima-i-shahad, to swear under oath, and to say, that la ilaha, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. By the barakah of miswak, this will be, a person will be blessed. And in fact, our Shaykh, rahimahumullah, wa jazahumullah khair, has written 9 prescriptions 9 prescriptions for guaranteed maut on iman, for guaranteed death on iman. One of the 9 is that we make miswak all the time. Because by the barakat of it, you're going to read kalimah shahadat, so your maut is going to come on iman. And really, our biggest worry that we must have in our life is how my maut is going to come. Not where I'm going to die, how I'm going to die, whether I'm a rich man, poor man, sick man, what I am, what condition, but how my maut, death is, the mutun kama tahyun. Your death will come how you have lived in your life. وَتُخْشَرُونَ كَمَا تَمُوتُونَ. And you will be raised up on the day of Qiyamah, how your maut came. إِنَّ الْعِبْرَةُ بِالْخَوَاتِينَ. The most important thing is the end result of everything. One student, the whole year, he worked very, very hard, but he didn't write exams for whatever reason. Another student was loafing, but the exam time he worked hard, he studied at night, he passes. The result is not the whole year, the result is at the end, that was result. So our result at the time of maut is the most important, and that should be our greatest concern. And whoever has got that concern, it comes in the hadith, Allah sees to all his other concerns. Allah will take care of all your other matters. But we see, if you want to catch a cat, then if you catch it by the tail, that cat is going to turn around and scratch you very badly. Catch it by the neck, and you got the cat. Right? So all our problems that we have got, if we are catching them by the tail, and these problems are turning back and hitting us again. Catch the problems by the neck. And what is that? It comes in the hadith of Sharif. Man aslaha ma baynahu wa bayna rabbihi. A person who corrects all his matters between him and Allah. All his matters are clear. Aslaha Allahu ma baynahu wa bayna khalqihi. Allah corrects his matters between him and the creations. Today we got a problem, whatever problem, financials, with the neighbors, with the family, whatever problem, and we want to sort it out here. Whereas, that everything comes from majariya qada. Majariya qada is the arsh of Allah. All decisions are made from there. And whatever happens in this world, man kana nadruhu ila majariya qada. A person who has got this yaqeen and knows that whatever happens is not from this person. It's not from that, the merchant. It's not from that, but it comes from Allah Ta'ala. مَنْ كَانَ نَظْرُهُ إِلَى مَجَارِهِ الْقَضَى لَا يُفْنِي أَيَّامُهُ فِي مَخَاصَمَةِ النَّاسِ. He doesn't waste his time arguing and fighting with people, having unnecessary debates and discussion. He knows even a dog, you throw a stone at it, or you show it a stick, it won't come for the stone or the stick. It knows you are the person who's throwing that stone. It will come for you. Whatever halat and conditions are coming from Allah. But we don't look at it there. We say it's coming from this person, it's coming from that person, this thing happened, that thing happened, and we are in fact, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَرْ. We are like animals and even worse than animals. A dog also knows that this comes from Allah, from the person who threw the stone, and not the stone that is harming me. Halat, we think the halat are the problem. They are coming from Allah. And you correct your matter with your Rabb, Allah will correct your matters with His creation. So this is a simple thing. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala let us understand this. So anyway, the sunnah of miswak is a very great sunnah. May Allah give us topic to make amal on every sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to understand sunnah as it is and the value of it. The ayat of the Quran Sharif which I have recited, we all know, is the first ayat of Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi, the first surah of 29. Juz Supara. And with regard to Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is one surah in the Quran which has got 30 ayahs. And it's my heart's desire that this surah must be in the heart of every believer. For example, if your mother makes some wasiyat when she's passing away, that my son, I really wish you must do this for me, you must do that or whatever, or the father makes some wasiyat, we will go out of our way to try and fulfill that wasiyah. Yeah, Allah's Nabi, our Nabi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has expressed his heart's desire for each one of us, for every believer, that you should have Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi in your heart. In other words, you should know it off by heart. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Rauf ur-Rahim, kind and most merciful, that together with it, he made it easy for us also. And he told that the surah has got 30 ayahs. In other words, it's an indication psychologically that there are 30 days in a month. Learn one ayat a day. Who can say, I can't learn one ayat in the whole day? You learn one ayat a day in 30 days. You know the surah? And every day we have to read it also. So when you are reading it, so as you come to the eighth ayat, it becomes easy because you are reading it. And to remember it is also easy. You're reading every day, you're not, so you won't forget it also. So in a month's time, a person can know the surah, the whole surah. And this is, and if we take it from this point of view, that it's my Nabi's desire, that I should have the surah in my heart, I should memorize it. And mashallah, there are many people who heard this, and they memorized the surah. So may Allah give us also tawfiq. It comes also in the hadith sharif, that a person who recites the surah every night, and between Maghrib and Isha preferably, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when for some reason if he couldn't, he wouldn't retire to bed until he recited it. A person who recites it every night, if due to his sins, azab is coming to him in the qabr, but the surah will come in the form of a bird and spread its wings over the person. And it will protect him from the azab. Still, there is, for example, if we are here in the masjid, but we know there are crooks outside, or there's a snake outside, it's anxiety. But you know you are safe in the masjid, the doors are closed, windows are closed, it's not going to get to us. But still, it's anxiety. So your sense will cause your anxiety still, but you'll be safe. But they'll be just there, we're trying to attack you, but this bird will put its wings and protect you. So may Allah give us tawfiq. From that point of view, who of us can say we haven't committed sins? And what sins haven't we committed? But by the recitation of Surah Tabarakalladhi every night, Allah will protect us. A person who reads Surah Tabarakalladhi and Alif Lam Mim Sajda in the 21st juz, then he gets the reward of making ibadat of Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr in the month of Ramadan, we don't know exactly which is that night. Yeah, the whole year you can get the reward of Laylatul Qadr. And if we learn it from year after Salah and walking till our car or walking home, we have learnt it off by heart, we can recite it. So easy. It won't even take the extra time. Today we all complain, no time. Too busy. Everyone is no time. Too busy. But you just learn it off while you're walking home, you can read it and it's done already. And some people don't like to be seen as pious people. They don't like that people must regard as pious. So you learn it off the heart, you don't have to sit in the masjid, you're reading also, oh, so great, Busur. So pious is sitting and reading the Quran. While you're walking, nobody knows you are reading, and you have read it, and your connection with Allah, and your surah is that, may Allah give us all tawfiq. Also, in my khutbah that I read, Ya khayra man dufinat bil qali a'dumuhum, this is inscribed at Rosa Mubarak. A dead one came, a valijah, and he recited it. It was so much light that till today, if you go to Rosa Mubarak, you see it written there on top. Ya khayra man dufinat bil qali a'dumuhum, fataba min tibihinna al-qahu wal-atamu ruhi al-fida li qabarin anta sakinuhu fihi al-afafu wa fihi al-jum wa fihi al-karam. O you who is the best creation created by the sand and by your barakah, by the sand has become blessed. And the sand and the hillocks and the mountains and everything else has become blessed by your blessing. And in your tomb where your qabr is fihi al-ataa, there is only purity there. Well, jood and generosity, well, karam and kindness and compassion. Hey, if a person understands and then he goes to Rosa Mubarak and he reads this there, but what feeling won't he there, like give us all talking. So the surah, Allah Ta'ala starts, the surah talks, Tabarak al-Ladhi, blessed is that being, in whose hands be yadihil mulk, the entire sovereignty. So Allah has said that barakah, and we all want barakah in everything. We haven't got barakah in time, we haven't got barakah in money, we haven't got barakah in our health, we haven't got barakah in our food, we all want barakah. So Allah is, from the start, is saying, we're looking for barakah in the shop, we are looking for barakah in the job,
We are looking for barakah outside. Allah says, barakah is by me. If you are looking for something where it isn't, how are you going to get it? A poor person who only had one gold coin, that was his only asset in his life, he lost it. He was living in a little tent shanty. And when he lost it, he went and looked for it under the street light on the street. So, looking, he can't find it. Naturally, where it is and how are you going to find it? A friend of his came past and said, what's wrong? What are you looking for? I said, I only have this one gold coin, that's my only asset. And I've lost it, I'm looking. He said, you also felt in pity, let me help you look for it. After a while, they couldn't find, which is common and natural. He asked, where did you lose it? So he said, I lost it in my tent shanty. So he said, if you lost it there, why are you looking for it yet? So he says, in my tent shanty, there are no lights. So how can I find it there? Yeah, the street light is bright. So I look for it here. You can look for it till the cows go home. Hey, where it isn't, how can you find it there? Then the tent shanty, without a light, you can move your hands around. Where it's lost, hopefully you will find it. Otherwise, with a little candle, with a little lamp, you can look for it there. So today also, we are looking for barakah where it isn't. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayhi, great Sufi, great saint. 12 o'clock in the day, in the hot, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for a human being. He said, aren't all these human beings? He said, Allah showed him, every person on the day of Qiyamah will be raised up according to his inside qualities. A person who has got a lot of dirt and malice is what we have to do, our akhlaq, our sifat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Most blessed and most honorable characteristics. Today we're not interested in bringing that. Today we want dollars. We want extra investments. We want houses. We want smart cars. Who is worried of bringing qualities within us? So anyway, so barakat is by Allah Ta'ala. And we have to look for it where it is by Allah. Make our connection with Allah for it. When the Muhammadin says, Hayya ala al-falah, come to success. Every type of success. Success of deen, dunya and akhirat is included in that. But at that time, do we see success in the business deal that we are making? Or do we see success that now my Allah has called me and I must go now to, just imagine, Zubaydah, the wife of Harun al-Rashid. Very great woman who was very pious too. And she did great social and welfare work also. Forget Salat. Salat is still afterwards. When she heard Adhan at one time, and she asked her attendant, her maid, to give her water, she was feeling thirsty. She took the glass, she heard Adhan, she didn't drink water. She waited till Adhan is finished and she replied to Adhan. And on that, Allah granted her forgiveness and entry into Jannah. And on nothing else, on that day, so, for Adhan, if we respect it so much, and then Salat we come to, what won't Allah do for us? But today, Salat doesn't mean anything. We can be sitting at home and talking, having a cup of tea. That is more important. Adhan comes and Adhan goes. We don't respond to the call. We are playing soccer, youngsters. We are playing some game. And Adhan comes and Adhan goes. We don't respond. So, our barakat is not in all those things. Our barakat is in responding to the call of Allah, making Allah happy. Barakat is nowhere else, not in factories, not in shops, not in banks, not in anything but by Allah Ta'ala. So if we connect correctly with Allah Ta'ala, then see what barakat we won't get. I'll explain one little story. It's just a story. The moral is important. The story is not really correct also, it's just a story. And that was that one old man in a village was passing away, dying. So he made his bequest. He said he had 19 camels. Remember that properly? 19 camels. He said, half of the camels you must give to my wife. Which is not according to Sharia. But as I say, he made his own people do a lot of things in their bequest against Sharia, against the rules of Allah Ta'ala. So he said, half to the wife. And how much is half of 19?
9.5.
So he said, 9.5 to the wife. And he said, a quarter to my son. A quarter of 19? No, I think it's a problem. 4¾. That to my son. And he said, 1/5, 20% to my daughter. Now it's even a bigger problem.
Anyway, 1/5, 20% of 19.
3.8. I say it always, that's why I know. Otherwise, I also don't know. We are all the same. So anyway, and then he put a big problem in there. He said, but you must not cut and divide any of the camels. You must give whole camels.
The everything he told, they are fractions. 9.5, 4 3/4, 3.8. But he said, you mustn't cut. You must give whole. So they're sitting with their heads, passing their heads for 6 months, wondering, how can we sort it out? One Maulana Sheikh was passing from there. They said, Maulana, help us, we got a problem. He said, I haven't got time. I have to call people to Allah, I have to bring them to Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah, and the obedience of Allah. They say, no, this is a matter of deen. He said, oh, then I've got time. If it's a matter of deen, no problem, I've got time. What's the problem? They explained the problem, he died, and he had made this wasiyah, that 19 camels, half to the wife, 9.5, and 4 3/4 to the son, and 3.8 to the daughter, he must not cut. He said, why are you wasting my time? That's hardly a problem. They say, Maulana, 6 months, all our top CAs, accountants, other accountants are sitting with a problem, they can't sort it out, please help us. He say, it's not a problem, take my one camel and put it work. Now how many camels?
20.
Half of 20? Made it easy for us also. And 1/4 of 20? 5. 10 plus 5? 15. And 1/5 of 20? 4, 15 plus 4? 19. All got full, all got extra. He took his camel and his phone. No problem. So see, baraka. In giving, there is baraka. He gave his camel. But today we hesitate to take out and give a small thing also. Like in Urdu or Gujarati people, dal sir, laam sir le, dena, to take. That they know that lesson very well. Lekin dal sir de dena, that we don't know that lesson. But if we know the lesson of giving, see what baraka. It comes clearly in the hadith that when a person gives and opens his hands, Allah opens his hands on that person. And Allah gives him. And when a person withholds, Allah also withholds. And a person who opens the doors of begging and asking, Allah keeps him a beggar forever. If you stop that habit, Allah will also stop it, and then you won't be a beggar. And if you learn to give, Allah will give you also. So a person should be a giver. That is the Islamic akhlaq, always it has been. And Allah Ta'ala gives great, great amounts in return. So anyway, so barakat is by Allah Ta'ala. And learn how to take barakat. Don't be afraid to give your zakat, which is only 2.5% of your extra money. Not your basic, what you need, what you use. Your debts you have to work out from all your income. Yeah, Allah is what income you made, what you used, what is your basic necessities, your house, your car. No zakat. What stayed extra over and above and for a whole year it stayed by you. And then again, not 100% of that zakat, only 2.5%. This is the last limit of stinginess. That a person can't even take out that 2.5%. And then Allah Akbar, I mentioned this incident. One great sheikh who lived in Madinatul Munawwara, and he's buried in Baqi. And 2 times they opened his qabr and they found his body 100% in there. His kafan, Maulana Badri Alim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who's married, who's buried just where Azwaji Mutahharat, the wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is buried. He's just in that area, he's buried. Two, because they regularly re-bury in the qabr in Jannatul Baqi. So they found his body 100%, and then they put a mark on the body. This qabr must not be opened again because his body. Anyway, one person in his majlis, his deeni majlis, explained they were living in India, and I met the grandsons of this person several times in Karachi. And they were living in Delhi, and they had arms and ammunition business. And they were good business, wealthy people, boring business. But when the time of partition of India and Pakistan took place, they had to leave India and run to Pakistan with only the clothes on their body. Nothing else. All their assets, all their money, houses, business, everything they had to leave behind. They, just like refugees, they just have to go. Anyway, they came to Karachi and they had ordered one consignment of their arms and ammunition from England that was to be delivered in Delhi.
When they came here, they contacted the company and they told them, see, we are no more in Delhi. We are now in Karachi. Send that whole consignment here. That consignment came. Pakistan government was just newly formed. They needed arms and ammunition. They bought the whole consignment and he got his money with all the good profit. And they were set up. And today they are wealthy people. This is just what happened. But why it happened? He says, my grandfather with whom all this happened, he should take out his zakat properly, 2.5%. And then double the zakat, 5%, he should take out lillah. And he should give that out. So see, like that, it seems always your money is diminishing. But when the hard time came, Allah helped us. And then they were set up again. So this is when we give, then Allah also gives. Barakat comes from Allah. And the barakat is in the hands of Allah. Tabarakalladhi biyadihi al-mulk. And why can't barakat be by Allah? When Allah is that being in who, so to say, hand. Allah hasn't got hands like us. Laysa kamithlihi shay. Allah is not a human being like us. He is laysa la sharika lahu wahdahu la sharika lahu laysa kamithlihi shay. Nothing is like Allah. But the qudrat and power of Allah is so great that Allah Ta'ala says biyadihi al-mulk, in who the whole sovereignty, the entire creation is like we say the world in your palm. Hey, that everything is in your hands, it is in the control of Allah. When Allah's power is so great, all resources Allah Ta'ala is by Allah Ta'ala. One of the names of Allah, Asma'ul Husna, is Al-Kareem. Alladhi yu'ti biduni khawfin ay yanfada ma'indahu. He is that being, when he gives, he hasn't got any fear that my resources will come less. We, when we give, for example, you're a rich man, Ramadan, you give your zakah, and you know many people will come, this masjid, that madrasa, this person will come. So you will make a budget. That so much I can't give every first Ramzan, I give everything, then how will I give to other people? Allah doesn't have to make a budget. That if I give away to one person so much, then how will I give to other people? And thus treasure never comes to an end. It's just unending. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the treasurer of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he should take loans also from Jewish people also in order to spend for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he should spend freely. And sometimes Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu should say, our loan account is too gone so high. So if we now take it a bit easy, we mustn't just spend so freely. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should say, أَنْفِقْ يَا بِلَالِ وَلَا تَخْشَى مِنْ ذِي الْإِقْلَالِ مِنْ ذِي الْعَرْشِ إِقْلَالَ. Oh Bilal, you spend, and don't fear any shortage of the being of the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. You don't fear any. And the Arsh of Allah, as I said, is Majariya Qaza, from where all decisions are made. They are made from there. So, barakat, why won't it be in the being, in Allah's treasury, when there is no end to the resources of Allah? And Allah spends and gives wholeheartedly, Allah openly, there is only generosity, there is no stinginess, miserliness by Allah Ta'ala. Allah is just generous. Allahu Akbar. If we think of a few examples I will give of the qudrat and the power of Allah, the generosity of Allah Ta'ala, according to WHO, World Health Organization, presently 250,000 babies are born a day in the world. So in other words, Allah is supplying 500,000 eyes every day. Mm-hmm. And free of charge. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Any doctor will say, I'll do an eye operation, and he'll just put a glass eye. If you lost your eye in a shooting incident, in a motor car accident, they can't give you another eye. All they can give you is a glass eye. And with that glass eye, you can't see anything. The whole world see you got an eye, but you can't see anything. And at what they cost, they will put. Allah gave true eyes, free of charge. And Allah didn't say only I'm giving eyes for those people who can appreciate optometrists, etc. And they know what is the value of eyes. And the people who are living in the Congo Basin, who are living in the Amazon forest, what they know the value, so I won't give them eyes. No, the whole world. Whether you are born in the big, big cities of the world, or you are born in the jungles of the world, Allah is giving two eyes. And then again, Allahu Akbar, not only two eyes, and with the two eyes, you can see the whole world. The sun is so many more times bigger than the earth, but you see the whole sun, it's in your eye. Mm-hmm. A whole big mountain you can see with your eye. But if one part of the mountain, little sand comes in your eye, you can't see anything. And then again, this eyes that see everything, I'm seeing all of you. All of you are seeing me. But none of us, our eye till today, has seen the other eye. In the mirror you can see, but like that, your eyes are so next to one another. It's only the little bridge here that is in between. But did anyone see his other eye? No. That you are so close to one another, but you haven't seen one another. The eye hasn't seen one another. Oh, how Allah? Alam naj'al lahu aynayn. Have we not made this eyes for this man? Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem, alladhi khalaqaka fasawwaka fa'adalak fi ayyi surati ma sha'a rakkabak. What is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? And then again, Allah Ta'ala gave us teeth. And that also 32 teeth free of charge. Today for one false tooth, how much you have to pay? Implants, how much you have to pay? All this is so expensive. Allah gave 32 teeth free of charge. And what a program of Allah Ta'ala. When you were born, no teeth. This is Allah Ta'ala. If there were teeth, and you had to drink milk on your mother's breast. And sometimes, some children are born with a tooth and they bite the mother, the most delicate part of the mother's body. How the mother cringes with the pain. But Allah has put so much love for her child that she won't hit the child also. She will overlook. As a husband never ever tries, she will never forgive you all night also. But for a little child, she will forgive that little child immediately. And then after that, at the moment, the child wasn't going to eat, so no teeth. And then the child is only drinking little milk and just little liquids. When the child comes onto unsolid food, what your biscuits, the child is eating Mari biscuit, so the milk teeth comes out. And afterwards, when the actual teeth comes out, that is the time when the child is going to eat roast now, and the child is going to have chicken now, and the child is going to have mutton now, and beef and all that. Now the actual teeth come out. It is just like you, when there isn't a match on the, in the stadium, no spectators on the no match, no spectators. There's going to be a big match, a cup final. So first there are curtain raises before the big match. So the small teeth come out, the milk teeth. And then when the big match comes, then you see all the spectators come. And if you open your mouth, like this, if you're not shy, I will open it, you can see my mouth. Like this, it is exactly like a pavilion. Like pavilion at the stadium, if your mouth is just like that. When the baby was just born, no match. So no spectators. When the curtain raiser came, the small matches came, then the milk teeth came. And when the big match came, then the actual teeth came. Now that was Allah's system, how Allah has made, whether you are a Chinese child, whether you are an African child, whether you are a European child, whether you are an Indian child, whoever you are, the whole world, one Allah, one system. The whole world's people is proof of Tawheed and the oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Anyway, now, if we had to make children, if the mother was making children and the father, what we think, we just have enjoyment for a minute, and then Allah gives the result after 9 months. Where we can make children? Impossible. Only Allah alone is the maker. But if we had to make, perhaps we would have put this program in motion that when the child is 1 year old, then his tooth must be 1 millimeter. When he's 2 years old, 2 millimeters. 10 years old, 1 centimeter, 10 millimeters. When he's 20, 25, 2, 2.5 centimeters, about an inch. And that's the time normally when boys and girls get married also, 20, 25. Now if the top tooth was 1 inch, and the bottom tooth was 1 inch. And it's sunnah also when you get married, to have a look at the girl, see one another so that there is compatibility. Just in that one blue meeting, they understand. Now if the boy came with his 1 inch tooth and the bottom, top and bottom, the girl will say, my mother is getting me married to a bulldozer or this earth moving machine. And usually at that time you smile also a little. And now with that big, big teeth you are smiling. And don't worry, the girl will also be sitting with so big teeth. And she also smiles. You run from this top and she run from that. And then if you become a granny, 80 years old, grandfather, grandmother, and your top tooth is 8 centimeters, and bottom tooth is 8 centimeters, and about 4 inches top tooth, bottom tooth, and now you like your grandchildren, you want to cuddle with them, you want to kiss them, you want to play with them, the children will go, grandmother, so big teeth, looks like she's going to eat me up. They won't even come near the person. Who is it that brings the teeth to one level? And then it just remains their whole life. And if we do our dental hygiene properly, and we eat the right food, that you don't need braces in the mouth, you don't need implants, you don't need false teeth, whole life. And the people you see in the rural areas, there are no orthodontists there, no dentist or anyone there, but you see their teeth shining white. They eat the right food, and they look after their teeth. Beautiful, white, shining teeth you will see right in the rural areas. We think we're very advanced, and we got all the things. They don't need all these things. What all our hospitals have got? They are living there, they're living their whole lives peacefully. No problem, they don't need all these things. So this is the great qudrat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Also if we consider بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَلِيرٍ. We just read this ayat very lightly, we don't want, Allah has got qudrat over each and everything. For example, see, to see, there are two conditions to be able to see. You must have light in your eye, you mustn't be a blind person. Your eyes mustn't be closed, they must be open to see. And then there must be outside light also. If you can see perfectly, but it's pitch black dark, you can't see also. And if it's light, but you got no light in your eyes, you also can't see. So two conditions. So in order to see, you need light. And every person who sees, we see with our eyes. But with which part of the eyes? We haven't studied this, but the eye has got so many parts in it. Or there is the retina, there is the iris, there are many parts. The pupil, the middle part of the eye, putla, pupil, that is the thing that sees. A person might have green eyes, he might have blue eyes, he might have grey eyes, brown eyes, black eyes. All that is determined by what is around the pupil. That part is grey or green or something. But that part of the eye doesn't see. It is the pupil, the center part, and everyone's pupil is black. So that is Allah's qudrat, that in blackness He has put light.
Subhanallah.
Nobody else can do that besides Allah Ta'ala. And just if you want to understand that a little bit more, we all must be knowing that the world is round, like a soccer ball, little bit oval, but basically it is round. So when it is round, and we all understand that, now the people who are on the top of the world, they are standing with their legs on the world. And the head is above. Their cars are moving, the wheels are on the earth, and the bodies on top, the trains that are moving, everything. And the people who are at the bottom of the world, where are their legs? They are upside down. The heads are down. The legs are on top. Heads are down. The cars, the wheels are on top, the body, the trains. But did we ever hear that anyone telling us, sending us an SMS, SOS, that today you must watch this TV program, the people in Cape Town are all moving upside down. Actually they are, but the qudrat of Allah that you don't see it like. And the people who are on the side of the world, the world is wrong. The people who are on the side, they're walking sideways. The cars are also moving all sideways. But did you ever see anywhere in the world, that in Mombasa, in this part of the world, people are walking sideways there? No, this is the qudrat of Allah. And then not only that, وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. See the qudrat of Allah. This glass, the water is staying in the glass, we all can see. Why? Because there is glass at the bottom also. But if I have to turn the glass completely around, all the water will fall out. Not one drop will remain. So, the world that is round, at the bottom, Cape Town, Australia, all these places, the sea is there and left. Atlantic Ocean, Indian Ocean, Pacific Ocean, all at the bottom, the seas are there. And we must have gone to the sea, all of us, sometime or the other. Did we ever find there is a glass holding the water to keep it up? Or was there a plastic that is keeping the water up? Nothing whatsoever. But there one drop of water fall out from
Allah.
It will never ever fall out. Whose qudrat? وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. We haven't seen Allah Ta'ala. Open in fi khalqi as-samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar la ayatin li uli al-albab. And for who is this? Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubi. And then that will lead you wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqi as-samawati wal ard. And then that will lead you rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batila subhanaka faqina adhabannar. See what the prayers of Allah, Allah gave us the opportunity to say, we stood with the great eyes of Allah, and they opened our blind eyes of the heart, and they opened our deaf ears of the heart, and little bit we have seen, we try and pass it on to our friends also, see the qudrat of Allah tomorrow. And also, see if the world was round like this, it is round, okay? The people who are walking on top, quite understood, they are walking, going for their work, going home, doing all the things. But the people who are walking at the bottom, what is keeping them up? If it wasn't Allah's qudrat, you'll hear all the time, forget all the water just falling down into space. Everyone walking in Cape Town, you'll just hear today 10,000 people drop down. Today 50,000, and we won't even hear that. Long ago already all the people should have dropped down. There should be no children of theirs also. How is it that not a single person drops down?
Allah.
A person who might have a scientific mind, it might be coming into his mind that it is due to magnetic forces and atmospheric pressure. Because of that, the people are walking properly, that the magnet is keeping them up. They are walking up like you are walking with your legs on the ceiling, but you are not falling. There is a magnet that is keeping you. So that is perhaps a mind. So a person with that kind of mind told one sheikh, one maulana, that all what you people are saying, you take out from your back pocket. You got no scientific knowledge. You don't know. This is all by scientific forces, by magnetic forces, and by atmospheric pressure that the system is in. Even if it is, who made that magnetic force? That is also the system of Allah. And who made that atmospheric pressure? Allah made it. But any case, so that Maulana had a walking stick with him, which is also sunnah to carry, and he gave that person one shot on his head. So he said, that's a problem with you, Maulana. I said, you sheikh, you got no answers for us. Then you resort to violence and you want to hit us. So Maulana said, I didn't hit you. So he said, you still lying, so big beard you got, so long kurta you wearing, and you hit me and you saying you didn't hit me. So he said, no, I didn't hit you. He said, then what happened? If you didn't hit me, I saw you, you hit me. He said, all that happened is the magnet in your head pulled the magnet of the stick and the magnet came on your head. And you should make lot of shukr, you should be thankful that your head's magnet is very small, you got a small brain. If it was a big magnet, it should pull the stick with so much force, your head should split into two. Then he realized it's not magnetic forces, it's not atmospheric pressure, that stick has to be in somebody's hand. All this is in the control of Allah. It isn't just let loose like that and just happening on its own. It is by the qudrat of Allah. So, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And then again Allah gives another, what an exposition, which nobody can deny. You can be the biggest scientist, the biggest philosopher, the biggest mathematician, whoever you are, أَلَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ. It is that Allah is so great, His qudrat, that He created mort. Hey, people hate mort. Especially if you can study the books of philosophers, they just cannot accept mort. That we work so hard in our dunya, accumulate so much wealth, so much knowledge, we build our houses, we set for life, and mort comes and takes us away. They are angry about mort, and they can't understand what is mort. How is it that a person is health conscious, a person doesn't, only eats health food, everything he does right, but it doesn't mean he's not going to die. Death is such a reality that nobody can deny. And death we see in this ayat is not just on its own, you become old, you die, or because of a sickness you die, or anything, no. It is Allah khalaq al-maut. Allah is the one who created maut. Maut is a creation of Allah Ta'ala. And on the day of Qiyamah, when the people of Jannah will be in Jannah, and the people of Jahannam will be in Jahannam, maut will be brought in the form of a lamb, and it will be slaughtered. And after that decision will be made, no more maut. People who are in Jannah, you will never die. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. You are living there forever and ever. And if they Allah save us all and may dua for all the people of the world that nobody goes to Jahannam, Allah protect us, we have Iman and we succeed to go, we have Wahdaniya and we have Iman on Risalat and we go to Jahannam. If you have to go to Jahannam and no more mort after that. يَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيْتِهِ. It will look like mort comes to you in Jahannam from all sides. Like a truck is coming on you. Like a mountain is falling on you. A dragon is eating you. But you're not dying. In this world you die, finish. We also say the person was suffering, now he's gone to rest in peace. But in Jahannam, no rest in peace. Mort will be coming all the time on, from all sides. And no more, and you won't be dying. So anyway, mort is a great, and imagine what a great, what is the great qudrat of Allah? What a great khaliq, khalaq-e-adeem, the one who created something like mort. How great is not Allah Ta'ala? Alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-haya. Light is also what Allah has given. Also with regard to mort, just shortly, mort is not in our hands also. Even it is not in committing suicide. When read Guinness Book of Records and you read how many people, how many times in their life they tried to commit suicide, but mort was not written, they don't die. Hey, when only mort is written, then only can you die. In India, in the whole world, there are people who suffer from depression and then they want to commit suicide. And every country has got specific places where people go and they commit suicide, they take their lives. So in India there was a very high breach. People used to go there, throw themselves down, commit suicide in Delhi. So one person who was tired of life, everywhere long, long queues, traffic jams everywhere. You go bus stand, long queues. You go train, long queues. Wherever you go, he said, I'm frustrated. I can't take this anymore. I rather die. So he decided he'll also go by that bridge and go and kill himself, commit suicide. When he came there, that line was so long, he changed his mind. So mort is not in your hands, in your decision. When Allah has written mort, only then mort. How many times we, now Nepal, that earthquake, and they pulled out an over 100-year-old man, he's still living. Pulled out a baby that is still living, and how many young people are there? So mort is not what your age you are, now is your age to die, it is by Allah Ta'ala. And Allah created hayat, alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayat. Life also is by Allah Ta'ala. And this again, philosophers, if you go and study, go into universities, go into the libraries, and go and see the books that are written on the soul, the ruh. What is the ruh? They've written 20 volumes, and when you start reading, when you come to the end, you are more confused than before you started. And there are more questions than answers that you get. And the Quran Sharif gives the answer in three words. وَيَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you, what is the ruh? قُلْ. Say to them, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. It is from the command of Allah's command. Like a person, we all sitting here. Our eyes are functioning. Tongue is functioning. Every our body is functioning. Because the ruh is inside. If any of us, the ruh have to go out, finish, the eye don't function, that you don't talk anymore, you can't do anything. The preparation for janazah has to be laid down. Why the ruh? But your eyes are still working. If they are grafted into another person, those eyes will work in that person. Your heart transplant can be done. If they take out the heart in time, they can transplant it into another person whose heart is malfunctioning, not working, and it will work there. So the body parts are working. What is gone out? That command of Allah. That is what is gone out. And now you're a dead person. So hayat also Allah has created. Mort also Allah has created. So anyway, here a question arises. Allah has said, Alladhi khalaqa al-maut wal-hayat. First death and dead life. We see sequence, first is life, then mort comes. You don't die before you live, before you born. You first are born, you live your life, then you. Why did Allah refer to death first? If it was according to us, we should have said, Alladhi khalaqa al-hayata wal-maut. That who created life and then mort. One of the reasons for this, the ulama give, is that we have been born not to live but to die. In other words, you have come in this world to die. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. Dunya is a tillage, a farm for the akhirah. Our object of life is not dunya, not big investments, not big degrees, not big bank balances. Our object of life is to prepare for akhirah. And in that, we have to prepare our deen, make effort of deen. But the object even of preparing for deen, don't just keep your intention that we're going in Jamaat 40 days, just 40 days. No, preparation of akhirah. Not just I'm becoming an alim to be an alim. No, preparation of akhirah. That is why Allah has put us. And unfortunately, that is not in our minds today. And we don't think why I'm here in the world. I became a maulana also as a profession. I became a sheikh as a profession. But what is my... A person who gets in a car, he fills petrol, he checks his oil, water, tire pressure, everything. But he doesn't know where he's going. Just driving around. He's a mad person. He doesn't know where he's going. He's got his GPS also, but he doesn't punch in his destination where he's going. He's just driving around. If we are making five times namaz also, we are doing business also, we're building houses, we are cooking food, we are eating, we are growing food. But for what are we doing? We just every day. Morning we wake up, and then we earn, and we eat at night, and we sleep. Morning first thing, toilet. Next day the same thing again. Like in Urdu they say, din ko kamana, to earn during the day. Raat ko khana, you eat at night. Subah ko pakhana. Morning you go to the toilet. To insan kya hua, what has insan become? Ek pakhana banane ki machine. All he has become is a machine to make stool, to make urine. Allah Ta'ala in Qiyamah say, won't ask us, my banda, how many kilos of stool you make? And how many liters of urine you make? We are just a stool and urine making machine. We're just earning in the day, eating at night, toilet, first thing in the morning, toilet. And back again, the same routine, whole life. No, there is an object. We must make this object. I am here in this world for my akhirah. I'm not here to watch porn. I'm not here to commit guna. I'm not here to commit sin. I'm not here just to live it up and earn in this dunya and establish myself. My purpose in life, which Allah has made this machine, and Allah has, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. You think we just created you in some tomfoolery for just for nothing, and that you are not going to return to us? No, we created you because you have to return, you have to come back to us. That is the reason why this dunya is only a transit lounge. Like a person traveling anywhere. And he comes to an airport, he's on transit, he has to change his plane. And in that he's waiting 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 hours. Not the stupidest person will say that the chairs in the transit lounge have gone old. Let me buy new chairs and couches and put them. Or that the carpets have gone old. No, he won't. He knows. That is just in front. Dunya is also just a transit lounge. We are here, which is not our permanent abode. But yeah, how much aren't we making our dunya? All the time. My garden must be perfect. My toilet must be perfect. Every finest detail must be perfect. And where we going, the next plane you have to catch. For akhirah, we're not preparing. We're not seeing whether I got my ticket, whether I got my visa of akhirah. We're not wanting. That is why Allah has created. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. And this whole exercise, everything. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That Allah says, I want to see who of you are doing the best of amal. Yeah, it is amala, that amal. Who of you does the best of amal? But many of our brothers, especially our Jamaat brothers, when they make announcement, they don't pronounce, they say our success is in amal. Amal actions. What they say, our success is in amal. That wealth come, more money must come. Our success is we get more money. Hamari kamyabi amal mein hai, amal mein hai. No, our kamyabi is not in amal, our kamyabi is in amal. Our success is in amal, our actions, our salat. So Allah has put us here to test us, who of us got, and not aksaru amala. No, amala. Allah doesn't want to see how much quantity. Allah wants to see quality. Ahsanu amala. How your salat you're making whole night tahajjud, but your heart is not present. Or you're making your tahajjud without wuzu. Whole night you're making tahajjud. No wuzu. What is the value of it? So quality, and that our mind doesn't, we only see quantity. If we have to see somebody, this Ramadan coming, Allah give us tawfiq to prepare and to appreciate and value Ramadan, but somebody's whole month is making ibadat, but his iman is not correct. Right? All that whole month's ibadat, what is going to happen? So if your quality Allah wants to see, and the tafsir, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا أَيْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَتَمُّ أَقْلًا وَفَحْمًا. Allah wants to see who got the best brains. A person who got brains prepares for his eternal, everlasting life. He doesn't prepare for the temporary. Our dunya's life is like a bubble on the water. It bursts any time. A person who's making effort for a bubble, how stupid is it? But today we regard that person as very clever, who's making all his effort for a bubble. And for the real life of akhirat, no effort. So the first, Allah is testing us, أَيُّكُمْ أَتَمُّ أَقْلًا وَفَحْمًا. Second, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَسْرَعُ لِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah is testing us, who of you are eager and moving forward in the obedience of Allah. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَوْرَعُ أَمْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ. And who of you it is that stay away from haram. Hazrat Umar particularly, radiallahu anhu, all this are كَانَ وَقَّافًا عِنَّ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Allah's command, and he used to put sharp. Your wife, see her from whole night, from Isha till Fajr. From head to toe, you can inspect her properly. No problem. But another woman, just the thought of her come also, put sharp. Don't think even of another woman. Forget even looking at another woman. Halal money Allah gives you, no money problem, use it. But haram, put a sharp break. Don't let one cent of haram come in your money. So this is what Allah has put us here. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. And Allah Ta'ala is Al-Aziz, Al-Ghalibu ala kulli shay, وَلَا يَغْلِبُهُ شَيْءٌ, who overpowers everyone and everything. And everyone and everything together can't overpower Allah Ta'ala. And He is Ghafoor. Ghafoor is the superlative, Mubalagha. One of our ustaz, Malana Anzar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullahi, once explained to us that if you commit sin, the Quran refers to you as zalim. So if you're a zalim, a sinner, no real problem, make tawbah. You'll find Allah to be ghafir. You are zalim, Allah is ghafir. A person who commits a lot of sin, he is zannam. And also no real big problem. Just make sincere tawbah. You are zalam, Allah is ghaffar also. And a person who commits even more than that sin, day and night, every moment, but just make tawbah, you are zalum, Allah is ghafoor. Allah will forgive you. And an example of this, our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi gives, that in the jungle, if the lion is running, and by mistake, he put his one leg on the rabbit that was sleeping. And the rabbit woke up suddenly, oh, Mr. Lion. He said, Mr. Lion, no problem. I make you maaf. What's the value of that maaf? What can the rabbit do to the lion? Can't do anything. But the lion was sleeping. And the rabbit was running. And he put his one leg by mistake on the lion. Lion opened his eyes and he tells the rabbit, I make you maaf. There is great value. Because the rabbit is not even one samosa for breakfast. The lion, what is the rabbit? So if the lion, so Allah, what is a lion? Allah says, I will forgive you. I'm the most powerful, but yet you just make tawbah. Turn to me and I will forgive you. Your whole life's sin. The person who killed 99 people, riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, and he killed that alim also, he made it 100, Allah also forgave him. A person who is a 99-year-old kafir, not only an idol worshipper, but who makes idols and sells them, but he makes sincere tawbah. As soon as he makes tawbah, Allah forgives him. So Allah is aziz. And if Allah takes you to task, you stand no chance in front of Allah. But together with that, He is so merciful and so forgiving, He is prepared to, you just turn. So Allah give us tawfiq to see the great qudrat of Allah, the power of Allah. And don't try and become praised by Allah. Don't become audacious and commit sin, and you don't ask for forgiveness. Pray for forgiveness from Allah. But we all make niyat, inshallah, that we ask Allah for forgiveness, that He forgives us all our sins, inshallah. And remember, sunnah is most important, that lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't look for loopholes with one hadith here and there. But the lifestyle, the pattern of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring that in our lives. And today we mentioned about miswak. That is only one sunnah. There are many, many sunnahs. And then see, the try and read the barakalladhi every night. Learn it off by heart also. And then see that barakat is by Allah. If we all want barakat, we want money barakat. Connect yourself with Allah. Allah will give it. It's nowhere else. It's not by give outs of anyone. It is only by Allah. And then Allah has shown how great He is. And then if you have erred and made mistakes, Allah says, no problem. I'm prepared to forgive you. You just ask for forgiveness. So let our starting point be that we are back of Allah for forgiveness, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Oh Allah, accept our gathering. Oh Allah, reward the brothers here. We show so much warmth and love, and it is all for the sake of deen and for your sake, oh Allah. Oh Allah, increase us in love and muhabbat amongst ourselves. Oh Allah, reward our sisters also who have come from so, came from so far, who have sacrificed so greatly, make it a means for deen to come alive, oh Allah. They came in huge numbers and they came from far distances. With so much of mujahada, accept it, and we beseech and beg of you that in their sadaqah and barakah you forgive all of us and you make our lives of deen, dunya and akhirat, oh Allah. Oh Allah, let us live our lives according to the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have declared, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Follow in my lifestyle and I will love you. We need your love, oh Allah. We cannot do without your love and kindness and your full compassion, oh Allah. Oh Allah, let us understand your great qudrat and let us understand our barakah only lies with you. And let us do those amal and make that dua that we get barakah from you, oh Allah. Let us understand how great you are. What is your great power and your great qudrat, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we all admit we are faulty. We are very, very faulty. We beg of your forgiveness. Forgive us, O Allah. You are Ghafir also. You are Ghaffar also. You are Ghafoor also. O Allah, please forgive us. And you are not only Ghafoor, but you are Ghafoorul Wadud. You are Ghafoorul Rahim. O Allah, you love to forgive. And O Allah, after you forgive, you shower us with your mercies also. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يُصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ